Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Welcome to May. Today is May the 1st. It is Memorial Day, celebration 338, and Michael will talk a little more about that here in a few moments. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, that puts you in queue to talk to Michael. We have had a caller with their hand up, and they've disappeared, so please call back in, and we'll welcome Michael to the show. Hi.
Hey, sweetie. Welcome to the show, everybody. We are delighted to be here to play with you today in learning the ancient Aramaic technology of forgiveness. When Jeannie mentions Memorial Day, our commitment is to bring the tools of forgiveness to every mind, heart, and being on the planet, and by so doing, put an end to war, which, of course, in the traditional sense of things, is the impossible dream. We posit it is not impossible, it's not only possible, but inevitable. If enough people will choose to move out of the insanity of blaming everybody else for what's going on in their lives and start to recognize that if they've been through a particular painful reality 87 different times with 42 different people, they're the only one that was there every time. Recognizing that, instead of blaming someone else, you start to go into a space of, oh, maybe I'm responsible for what's happening in my life. Maybe I can change what's happening in my life. And there is a tool, a piece of technology that was developed 2,000 years ago that taught precisely how to go inside of your own mind and remove what never belonged there. And that tool is called forgiveness. It has nothing to do with letting other people off the hook because you're in pain. It is the tool with which you go inside yourself and remove the root of your pain. And so we're here to support you in making that tool a reality, a functional process in your life, thereby moving in the direction of removing literally your very capacity to produce any kind of pain under any circumstance whatsoever. And if you haven't availed yourself of that technology at this point, what we invite you to do is go to our website, www.whyagain.com. Pardon me. And on the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets. And under that section, you'll see a new chapter 24 of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? The worksheet process, you can download it free. And then there are several radio shows where we've personally guided somebody step-by-step through the worksheet process. And so the whole process is there and available. And we're here to support you in learning how to use it. And so, Jeannie, do we have any callers? Anything happening in the chat room? Our call number, in number, by the way, is 646-200-4169. 646-200-4169. Jeannie, did that caller get to call back in? No? Well, is Dr. Tim with us today? Is David with us today? Gee, we're missing everybody today. Well, we'll hope that it's not a glitch in the system again. We found out yesterday that we were still missing several people. If you were one of those folks, we apologize. Blog Talk is working on getting their phone systems corrected so that everybody that calls in can be properly recognized and set in motion. So, our process of forgiveness is the key to what we're working with in this arena of healing the hostilities and fears that go on within ourselves and that we tend to blame somebody else for. And the minute that we deny what's going on inside of ourselves, we literally create a dissociated state. We create a state where we cannot see, cannot deal with the part of ourselves that creates and generates this pain. And so we turn around time after time and find somebody to blame for what's going on inside of us instead of understanding that what's going on inside of us comes from inside of us. Excuse me, Jeannie? Oh, Jeannie just said Dr. Tim is here. Dr. Tim, how do you be, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, that's good. What kind of exciting things are happening up in Chicago?
Well, I just finished another session with somebody that ran a little late. That's why I'm late getting on the call, but things are going beautifully. Lots and lots of people are using these tools to help move through very difficult times in their lives, and it's just a pleasure to be able to support them to do that. We're looking forward to our support group again tonight, do the second half of Healing Through Relationships, and we're in negotiations to set up some times to have a series of still point breathing sessions at the Unity Church or Unity Spiritual Center in Woodstock. So all those things
awesome.
Are on the plate, and we're hoping to get some dates pinned down soon, and then we'll share those with you so those can get out there, and we're just chugging along.
Awesome. Well, we had an exciting call last night. Several of the people who were in the first intensive we did in Palm Coast 3 weeks ago decided that they were going to do a support group from the intensive itself. And so several people were on the call last night, the conference call, and just opening some wonderful spaces within ourselves. And we got a really interesting letter from a woman who was at the intensive. Jeannie, do you have that letter accessible? It would be cool to read this letter. And as a woman who was at the second intensive, and you know, actually, after reading her letter, I began to contemplate, you know, in our computer world, if you go on some websites, you pick a picture that is going to be a symbol of you on the website, and they call them avatars. And the avatar concept is one that allows you to select any personality that you choose to, any picture that you want to represent yourself. So when somebody goes on, they'll see, you know, maybe a cartoon character, or they'll see, you know, a smiling, laughing face, or they'll see an angry, nasty face, or whatever avatar you choose to select. And as I read this letter, or Jeannie actually read it to me, that she had gotten from a woman who was at the intensive, the thought occurred of how we can switch avatars in our minds by forgiving, and that this whole game of pretending that someone else is the cause of what's going on inside of us, and where our mind, out of what someone resonates in us, generates a picture we call the body that holds a face that we call theirs. And in truth, very much like in the computer world, that face, that body, is a symbol of something going on inside of ourselves. It's actually an avatar. And we try to overlay it on someone out there and pretend that the person out there is the actual image in our minds. And when you get those two things mixed up, when you get the avatar in your mind, the picture in your mind, mixed up with the actual person that you're in relationship with, then if that person resonates hostility in you, you'll think they're a really hostile person. And when you go in and forgive and begin to collapse that hostility inside yourself, all of a sudden, that person starts to change. And we would swear it was they who changed, but what's really changed is the source of the avatar in our minds that produced that picture. And the reason why the world is so malleable when you have the tools is that that symbol tends to dissolve once you open up and remove the root of the picture that your mind presents to you out of your own mind. So the stuff going on inside of us produces these images, and until forgiven, what will happen, until we go in and collapse those things, people will tend to start to, because of the way we treat them, will tend to start to live up to that avatar, that symbol that we have of them. So if they're the angry person, and we always talk to them and treat them like the angry person or the leaving person or the nasty person or the kind person, they'll tend to begin to live up to that, in part because of the signal that we're literally sending out energetically, as well as the way we talk, the way we act in response to what we think is them, but is really just an image in our minds. And so once you forgive, once you collapse that part of your mind that holds a particular symbol for someone, then you tend to, you know, free people. If I use Charlie as a symbol of my anger and Harry as a symbol of my fear and Mary as a symbol of my sadness, every time I'm around them, I say, well, you know, he makes me really angry. She makes me really sad. But the truth is my anger and my sadness is something happening inside myself. And we generate these pictures that aren't true about the person we're looking at. They're not the person we're looking at all. They're an avatar. And when we collapse the root of that avatar, things change. And so this letter from a young lady who was at the intensive is just such an awesomely powerful example of that. It was someone who came who had some pretty big challenges when she came to the intensive and moved through those challenges so powerfully and so gracefully. Here's her letter. I'm going to hand the phone to Jeannie.
So she says, "Dear friends, my arrival home was awesome. My roommate Kay welcomed me home with fresh banana bread and a surprise. She had planted me a flower garden with bulbs that would come up year-round. This was the same friend of 8 years who, before the intensive, I had not been able to get along with. Now we are very close and support each other every day. It's awesome and miraculous. The next day we spent discussing with community members how to help our neighborhood become more loving and spiritual. The talks were very confirming to me because I felt able to listen and communicate responsibly. The friend I had left 9 days ago had completely changed and become a loving support for me and my forgiveness work. I went to visit another friend, and when I got to the walkway at the top of the stairs, there was a man and a woman holding a newly born baby. I said, 'What a beautiful baby, and can I hold her?' She was as light as a feather, a little dark-skinned baby who gazed into my eyes. I felt such a feeling of love and peace as I looked into her eyes. I said, 'Thank you to God for always giving me what I need to grow.' There are many miracles around my neighborhood, such as a couple who had previously been living in the darkness of illegal drugs have now made a complete turnaround and are seeking rehabilitation because they do not want to lose their children. Yesterday, a man who did not live in the neighborhood was going up and down the block trying to find someone to give him drugs. Since drugs are now drying up in my community at a mind-blowing speed, no one could help him. He became angry and he drew a gun. He pointed it at a man who had the healing and said, 'Give me some drugs or I'm going to shoot you.' Our neighbor told him he didn't have any drugs, that he didn't do that anymore, and he told the man to get out of the community, that we don't allow guns here. We have too many children here who could get hurt. By then, the police had arrived. And, of course, I had been holding a space of love for Kay, that's her roommate, who had gone out to talk to the gunman and the neighbors. So many miracles are happening to me. I went to Tai Chi today for the first time, and it was great. I am working on getting rid of all the aches and the pains in my body. It is still quite tight, probably because it's been this way for so many years from holding in all the fear and pain. My new diet, reading and writing, the mind shifters, etc., are increasing my vitality daily. One day I was singing a song in my sleep. And when I woke, I was singing the same song, a new song that came from my spirit. I find myself smiling and laughing, enjoying life the way that I did in my early childhood. My dreams have been very meaningful to me, and I write them down in the mornings. I've had one still point happen during the night, which was when I was singing the song. And then here she's got the lyrics to one line of it. I have finally come out of my dream. I will live this way forever. I have finally let go of my fear. I am with my Savior forever. So here I am, being long-winded. I get so excited, I just get carried away. I'm holding a space of love in my heart for all of you, my dear friends. Thank you for being there when I needed your support. You will be in my heart forever. Linda.
Now, that letter is from a woman who called into the show last week. If you were on the show, you might remember. And she said that, you know, I asked her the question when she had come to the intensive of her biggest challenge was fear. And I asked her on a scale of 1 to 100 what level of fear she had lived at prior to the intensive. And her response was 100. And how long have you lived at that level? Most of my life, over 3 decades. And she's now moving into a space where fear is no longer the energy out of which she makes the images in her mind, out of which she makes the literal avatars for the people around her. And lo and behold, it looks like those people are changing. And it's pretty awesome, because as you change that energetic pattern that you hold for someone, you literally treat them differently, you speak to them differently, you see them differently, and they start to change. So it's a pretty amazing process. And that letter comes out of, well, let's see, the workshop finished on the 22nd, right? So that was 9 days ago now. Today's the 1st. So that was 9 days ago, and that was a 9-day intensive. So 18 days ago, after over 3 decades of living at a level 100 fear on a scale of 1 to 100, that's the kind of result that happens when people jump in and do their work. So we say congratulations to you if you're listening. If you feel like calling, we'd love to hear your sweet voice and what's happening. And Jeannie tells me we have a caller. So area code 813, you are on the air.
Pauline, we didn't we didn't have much of a chance to talk yesterday. I think
right.
There was a problem. Switchboard, I had called in about 20 after, and you were asking for callers, and it just wasn't going through. So I must have been throwing some of that energy out. That,
well, actually, there have been some problems with the switchboard the last couple of days. We actually totally missed the show on Friday because we couldn't get in ourselves. So they're working on getting that repaired. So I'm glad to hear your voice and glad to have you back. How can we support you?
Like I said, I've done the worksheets for 41 days now because I just really don't want to give up. I'm really getting a lot of benefit out of them. But at the same time, I'm feeling a lot of aches and pains, and I'm wondering if that's part of the healing crisis. You know, I'm just not sure.
Well, and are you saying there's been an increase in your aches and pains in the last 40 days?
There wasn't, but now there is. It came on
awesome.
In the last 2 weeks. What?
Awesome. That's cool. I'm delighted for you.
What?
Here's what's happening. Here's what's happening. When I live in a deep enough level of denial that I totally shut my whole system down, it can't speak to me. You know, you look at people, they go to biofeedback therapists and they pay somebody $100+ an hour to hook them up to a machine so the machine can tell them what their body's been trying to tell them all along. And so the system will only give us that feedback for so long, and then it finally says, if you're not going to listen, I'm going to shut up. I'm going to turn this off and make it unconscious. And the destructive energy moves along in the tissue, but it's totally unconscious. As you start to take the lid off of the denial, which is what the whole forgiveness process does, you all of a sudden are able to touch into what your tissue structure has been trying to tell you. And it's been saying for a long time, ouch, that hurts. We need to change this. And so it's talking to you again, and that's an awesome and wonderful thing, although it's not Dr. Feelgood, and it's actually one of the reasons why people don't want to engage in the process.
During the first 9-day intensive, we actually had a lady who came to the workshop and was the second day that she was there, ended up with what she thought to be a urinary tract infection, kidney infection, and went to the hospital, you know, but in the middle of the night, the second day of the intensive, and
wow.
came back with a fistful of prescription drugs, and started to take those and proceeded to get sicker and sicker and sicker. And she decided, of course, it's not an arena that I enter into in terms of advising people on those things, but she decided finally that she noticed the connection that every time she took the drug, that she got sicker. So she decided to stop. And she went through, for 2 days, hell. I mean, physical hell. To quote an old phrase, on the third day she awakened. And on the third day, I went over, you know, we were staying in a different building from where the intensive was. On the third day, I went over early in the morning, and she's up and bright and chipper and comes over and gives me the biggest hug and says, Michael, I've just had the first full night's sleep that I've had in 30 years.
Wow.
I was able to stay in bed all night long and not have to get up a half a dozen times to urinate. She went through a major healing crisis with her kidneys, her bladder, her urinary tract. And 3 days later, all of a sudden, after 30 years of 4, 5, 6, and 7 times a night getting up to have to pee, she sleeps a whole night and is so excited about it. And she adds, by the way, I have no back pain. Now, she went through hell for 3 days. No question about it. But as she was able to deal with and process that, things were able to shift and change. And so when you touch in, when you let yourself start to process those things that are stuck in tissue, it's not Dr. Feelgood. It happens on 3 levels. There's a physical, mental, and emotional cleansing process that happens. And on a physical level, it looks like any kind of physical symptom you've ever had and low energy. On a mental level, it looks like any kind of negative thought you've ever had and confusion. On an emotional level, it looks like any kind of negative feeling you've ever had and depression. Healing is not Dr. Feelgood, but, oh, it is so valuable and so worth it when you do it.
It is, and I just keep carrying on. Aren't certain parts of the body representative of certain types of, like, grieving or hostility and fear? For me, it's been a lot in my right shoulder and the neck area. What am I holding there?
It sounds like it could be, you know, that you're carrying that load and that weight on the shoulder. You know, oftentimes shouldering the burden of the world gets to be a little bit difficult to do, and when you start to cancel your need to shoulder the burden of the world, your shoulder says, oh, thank you for taking the load off of me, and it can go back to a healthy state.
So that would be another good worksheet, and possibly still point
breathing.
Yeah.
Letting loose and carrying the burden of the world. By the way, you know, you guys did an intensive a couple of years ago, and you know, we were talking when we were over there in Tampa about, you know, wanting to do another intensive, and we just decided, actually, we just put a new flyer up yesterday. We changed around our summer schedule, and if you guys would like to come out and do another intensive, we decided that, and it's the first time we've ever offered this, that we're going to cut, for people who are reviewing the 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive, we're going to cut the price in half. So you can do the full 9-day intensive, the food, the accommodations, the workshops, workshop materials, everything. And the total is, I think it's like $795 or $785 for everything for 9 days. So you might want to come and do another, you know, from that week that we were there. I know you were really digging in, and it sounds like you're digging deeper every day. You might want to look at how that might fit in your schedule. It's going to be in July. And actually, we've got an even deeper level of discount that we decided to do again for the first time, where you can do the intensive for a third of its normal price. It's going to be $575 if you come and do the Food, Fun, Forgiveness, and Work project the week before, and then teacher's training afterward. So there are a variety of options there. Having done an intensive previously, if you want to dive in and do another whole level and piece of work, there's a way to do it, and to do it very economically.
Okay, so that'll be on the website soon.
Yeah. If you go to whyagain.com and you just look at intensive schedules, there's a new flyer up there. We actually cut back our summer season this year. It seems like when we're doing travel intensives, they fill up overnight, which literally the two that we just did recently, that happened within a matter of days with both of those intensives. And people, for some reason, just don't seem to be traveling. So we've cut back to where we're going to do a 10-day with Chef Ari, Food, Fun, and Forgiveness, where Ari is going to bring some new cooked and raw recipes. And part of that Food, Fun, Forgiveness, and Work project is going to be time in the kitchen with Chef Ari to learn some of these new recipes. And this guy is just a master. I mean, he's an absolute master at food and a walking encyclopedia. You know, I don't know if Ari was there when you were there a couple of years ago, but when he's there, people are...
Is he the really big gentleman?
Yes. People are usually in the kitchen with the notebooks just writing continuously because Ari is this fountain of knowledge and information about food. So that's going to be a 10-day program that'll start on the 21st of July. I think it starts on the 12th. No, pardon me. It starts on the 12th and goes through the 21st. And the whole 10 days of that Food, Fun, Forgiveness, and Work, it's an economy program. It's going to be $750 for the 10 days for everything, food and accommodations and everything, and then the 9-day Y, and then the 9-day teacher training. That's all on the website. If that's something that might be workable, it would be awesome. We'd love to support you in getting to the next level of creating the support group that you started to create and are working toward, and you know, just seeing how it all unfolds.
Awesome. I will check into it. One other thing, I'm noticing my worksheets, I rarely blame others now. It's really my name that goes right at the top. And,
yes, and you know, in the Aramaic language, you are your own neighbor. And you're required to keep a condition of love in your mind for yourself instead of all the pounding that our culture has taught us to do on ourselves. Sadly, you know, even the religions have taught us to pound on ourselves and to deprecate ourselves. And so, yeah, that's where usually a lot of work has to be done.
Okay, so I'm on the right track.
You are absolutely on the right track. A thought comes to mind. There was a woman at Heartland back about, 7 or 8 years ago now, and this woman was from a Mormon family that, you know, had multiple wives, and she was from one of the younger mothers, and her older sister was in her 30s when she was 7 years of age, and, you know, in that family system, the job of women is to produce babies, so they have 15, 20, 25 kids. So her older sister was off having her own 25 kids, and she was 7 years of age, and she just dearly loved her sister, and they had an invitation to go to dinner. So they packed up and they went over to her sister's house to have dinner, and I guess her sister wasn't much of a cook, and she poisoned the whole family. The thing that precipitated getting in touch with this was that she had done some work one evening in an intensive where her father, who was pretty abusive, came to her and asked forgiveness, asked to be released from that, and she was able to process through a lot with her father. And when she woke up in the morning, she had such excruciating stomach pain that she was just crying out in pain. And I, you know, she's like, "Get me to the hospital, I'm dying." And I said, "Well, before we do that, you know, you went through a major piece of work last night. When have you ever felt this way before?" "Oh, never. Just get me to the hospital. I'm dying. I need to get to a doctor." I said, "Well, okay, we'll get you there. But in the meantime, let's just tap in, slow down, take a breath. Have you ever felt this before?" And all of a sudden, this whole thing opens up. She was 7 years of age. She doesn't want to offend her sister. They're sitting at the table, and she's been poisoned. She's got food poisoning, but she won't say a word, and she's in excruciating stomach pain. And she doesn't want to offend her sister. She finally passes out, and they take her to the emergency room. The instant, I mean the instant she got in touch with that and allowed herself to feel that and deal with it, all of this excruciating stomach pain disappeared 100%. Gone.
Well, that gives
and
me
you know. part of the process is learning to decode those things that our family systems and our culture have taught us to shut down and allow ourselves to get in touch with them and to be able to walk through and work through them. And so sometimes, you know, that's one of the powerful things about having a support group around you is that when you're in a certain mindset, you know, as she was, I just need to get to the hospital, and I can assure you they'd have probably been cutting on her before the day was out if she'd gone, and they'd have found absolutely nothing because what she was dealing with was a memory of a child of 7. But having somebody there who could prompt her and support her through that and invite her to breathe instead of holding her breath, she was able to deal with that like in minutes. And so a lot of things are locked away inside of us that we have been taught not to deal with. And, you know, the idea of one of the skills of that we need to build is to learn how to decode those things, to literally read those energies that we've dissociated from, to be able to understand what they're about. And you know, if we don't ever learn to decode them, what happens is the person who has the decoder shows up, the person who can play it out, you know, in true living color and Dolby sound, shows up in our lives, bouncing off of that energy and playing it out. And as we learn to decode those things, we don't have to go through those kind of painful dynamics. We can touch right in directly and deal with what's there.
I hear you. I actually
And you have our
down.
Support. How's Eric doing?
Eric? I thought he just walked
yes.
in. Now, he's pretty good. He's outside right now working with some guys, putting a deck on the back of the house, redoing it.
That's cool.
So,
awesome. Well, it was really cool to reconnect with you guys a couple of weeks ago at those workshops in Tampa. We'll look forward to the next time we get face-to-face.
Okay. I'm going to check on the intensives, too.
All right. Anything
Bye.
Else
Thank
we can do to support you?
No, I think that's it for now.
Awesome. Well, have a blessed one, then. Lots of love. Take care.
You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. So, Jeannie, do we have any other callers or anything happening in the chat room?
No, nobody else has their hand up. Nobody's asking questions in the chat room. So there's several people just sitting out there listening. 646-200-4169 is the call-in number. Press 1 if you're on the switchboard, and that'll put you in queue. And hopefully, I know yesterday we had difficulty. People were pressing 1, and they weren't coming through. Bogdan, if you're out there today, let's try it again today. But
why don't
press
you see
one
if Magda's number's there? Magda's number's in 828. If it's there, why don't you try turning her on and see if she's been trying
to
get in?
There is not an 828 out there. So.
Okay.
All
right.
Okay.
Cool. And if you are trying to get into the show to ask a question, but it's not coming through, if you would hang up and call back in and try again and hit 1. There's something going on with the switchboard with Blog Talk, and they're working on repairing that. But at this point, we're not sure where the calls are going or what's happening with them. Some of it's getting kind of crazy. So, Dr. Tim, do you have any input for Pauline?
Well, I just want to echo that on a regular basis, people come into sessions with aches and pains, and when they uncover the connection, the pain either begins to fade rapidly or disappears instantaneously, like the memory that you're just talking about. And one of the last times, one of the more dramatic times that happened in a session was a woman who came in and said that she was in such severe back pain that she had an appointment with a neurosurgeon, an orthopedic surgeon, a neurologist, and she was pretty sure she was going to have the vertebrae in her spine fused. And I made the suggestion to her that there might be an emotional component to the pain, not that it was all emotional or that emotions caused it, but just that there would even if you're in that much pain, it has a spin-off of strong emotions, and those emotions can create a stress in us that is so intense that it suppresses our ability to heal and shuts down our immune response. Well, she thought I was pretty nutty, and but she humored me because she'd been coming to me for a while. And in the course of the session, she mentioned that the next week she was going to be traveling out of state, and she was worried about leaving her cat alone. And she had an upsetting event happen a couple days before. Her cat urinated outside the box, and it never did that. So she rushed the cat off to the veterinarian, and they tried to get the cat to urinate, and they couldn't, so they had to put a catheter in, and the cat was screaming. And my patient had to run outside, completely outside the veterinary clinic, because the sound of her cat crying upset her so much that she couldn't stop crying hysterically. So she got outside the veterinarian's office and called her friend on the phone to try and have the friend calm her down and convince her that she was doing the right thing and she wasn't hurting her cat. And as she told the story in the session, she began crying heavily and sobbing. And so I asked her to just breathe and pay attention to it. And much as you did in the story you just told, I asked her, when have you felt like this before? And just keep breathing. And if you want, tell me the story about the cat. But also think, when have I felt this intensely upset, having anything to do with myself being hurt or an animal being hurt or whatever? And it finally popped into her head that when she was about 10 years old, she had a severely abusive stepfather who used to torture her dogs in the garage, and she couldn't get in the garage to help the dogs, and she had to stand outside and just listen to their crying. And we processed that and breathed and tapped and talked about it from various angles. And at the end of the session, when she got up, she noticed quite a bit less pain. And she sent me an email the next day in awe saying she had no back pain whatsoever. And she came back a month later, having had her week-long trip out of state, and said she hasn't had a bit of pain since that session. And that's when she told me that she was absolutely convinced she was going to have her spine fused because the pain had been so intense. And, of course, she had every reason in the book why she was in that pain. She'd recently changed her exercise routine, and she was doing more impact work instead of the Pilates, and all of these different reasons for why she was having the pain, which she later learned had nothing to do with the pain whatsoever. So it can happen. It does happen. It's healing. It's not exactly fun, but it's well worth breathing through. That's what I would offer.
Absolutely. I love the definition that a medical doctor named Sarno has for back pain. This gentleman was a surgeon, and his primary field was back surgery. And like most back surgeons, he had a success rate of about 5%. And he hasn't used a scalpel now in years, and he runs a 95% success rate. And what he teaches people is that their back pain, as opposed to being a problem with a bone or a disc or a muscle or a nerve or whatever, what he teaches them is that their back pain is their unconscious rage. And that the pain is created by the brain to distract them from their rage. And so he invites them into their rage to deal with it. And lo and behold, he has a 95% success rate in getting rid of back pain. As with this woman, you've got a great track record. That's exactly what it is. It's, you know, there was a statistic that Jeannie came up with recently, which I find to be extremely insane, where, you know, she's doing psychology studies in school, and she came across a piece of data that says that 40% of high school kids going into college on prescribed psychotropic drugs. 4 out of 10 young people are being put on medication before they go to college. And it's just like, oh my God, what havoc are those poisons wreaking in those children's bodies? What you know, I mean, I'm the first to agree that in very limited circumstances there might be a use for those things, but these children just aren't being taught anything about being responsible for what's going on in their own minds, their own bodies, their own worlds. They're just being handed these things like candy. And the untoward effects that are going to unfold in these kids' lives 5, 10, 20, 30 years down the road, my goodness, it's like this huge, totally unplanned or maybe totally planned research experiment. And I can't imagine anything but just tragic results coming from this whole process. It's bizarre to see what's happening and how our culture is going along with it. I would think the educational system would be up in arms at 4 out of 10 young people leaving high school, going to college, being on a prescribed psychotropic. Like, in what universe does that make sense?
Well, and the other thing is that such a large percentage of the people I see in my office are they've been raised in families where the parents, their parents, didn't know how to handle emotions and didn't talk to them about handling emotions unless it was anger or joy. And often the parents would use some kind of drug to numb themselves out from anything that was uncomfortable, whether it was alcohol or some other prescription drug or rage. And so we have a whole slew of people who are raised without any education about their own emotional life, what causes
right.
their emotions, what they can do about it, how to process them. And this is a major cause for the storing of all of this unprocessed energy and then the addictions that we develop to try and avoid looking at the pain that comes from all this unprocessed, unpleasant energy.
Exactly. There was I don't watch much television, but I was at someone's home last week and the television came on at sitcom, and the young woman in the sitcom is saying she's visiting some people in their house, and her comment was, I looked in your medicine cabinet. There are no meds there. How do you people stay happy around here? It's a comment on a sitcom. And
yeah.
It's nothing funny at all about that. It's
right, but
it's tragic.
Right, but as we know, in order for something to make it into a comedy club or a sitcom, it has to be something that's so universally true that it's completely recognizable. Otherwise, it wouldn't have any humorous impact.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just so bizarre. And it's time for a wake-up call on planet Earth for people to start to realize that we need to learn to be responsible for our lives, and we need to learn to process these energies of rage and grief and guilt and fear and pain if we're ever going to change the dynamics in our world.
Hear, hear.
So, Jeannie, do we have any other callers or anything happening in the chat room?
There is one more caller. There's nothing going on in the chat room. One other piece of information that came up, too, along the same lines that y'all are just talking. The paper that I'm doing this week, a piece of data come up with that there is 11.7% of children between the ages of 13 and 18 that have been diagnosed with major depressive disorders, and 3% of those diagnoses is classified as seriously debilitating. That's 13 to 18-year-olds.
And you know, we need to start to look at. I mean, we talk at the beginning of each show about putting an end to war, but this is a war on the sanity of children and the sanctity of children, and it's time for us to do something. So let's just do our call, Jean.
Okay, area code 607, you're on the air.
Hey, Michael and Jeannie, it's Richard. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Richard.
Well, we're doing well. Blessed and highly favored. How about you?
Oh, on my way back from this conference I was at, and it was a wonderful conference, and near the end, you know, everybody was all, I personally was really excited and thrilled about the conference and, you know, the material that was presented, and then near the end, just when, you know, all this joy was there, the president of the organization started dissing somebody because of something that had happened, and I felt my energy go from this wonderful feeling to this low feeling I hadn't, you know, like, where did, you know, it was like, and, you know, and part of, you know, understanding your work is realizing that energy's inside of me. It's something that I need to forgive so that I don't go there, you know. And anyway, so I've been trying to process that for the last day.
Nice catch, Richard. That's awesome.
Can I tell
a little tale on you, Richard?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So if you go to the second radio show, where we under download worksheets on the archives, or you don't have to go to the archives, just go to whyagain.com, and on the right hand side click download worksheets. The second radio show is actually a radio show with Richard doing a worksheet. And Richard, I acknowledge you for the shift, because in that particular show, if you remember, we had to pull you back to talking about what was going on inside of you about a dozen times before you finally got to the core of the worksheet and saw that it was about you. And to hear you just start off with this conversation and this happened and here's what was going on inside of me, what an awesome shift. That's powerful, sir.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Nice work.
So anyway, you know, it's like, whoa, I don't want to go there. Anyway, and so I've been, and realized that I was blaming this person for that feeling inside me. And really what it come down to was, talking about going into back experiences. One time when I was in high school, there was a girl that I really was fond of, and somebody started dissing her, and I remember, you know, changing my opinion about her because of this person dissing her. And so it was, in some ways, that's what was going on for me. You know, I certainly have a high opinion of the person he was dissing, so I realized that my energy level had shifted dramatically in that moment, and not quite sure how to talk to this person about what occurred, and it's an issue that within the organization for sure.
So my input would be that you might want to go to the download section, worksheet section, and download the responsibility communication worksheet and present it to them. And communicate in a way, you know, whenever somebody, you know, there's a story that I tell about, imagine you're laying on the beach and you look up in the sky and you see in the clouds the face of a clown. Of course, it's very clear that there's no clown up there, but I look and my brain forms a face that I call clown. And then, you know, I say to the person laying on the beach beside me, oh, look at the clown up there in the clouds. And they look and they go, huh? What are you talking about? There's no face up there. And notice what, in order to get the person beside you on the beach, you had to do in order to get them to generate the same reality as you did. you looked at the cloud and you pointed and you said, you see there's that grouping of three clouds and there's that big one in the middle. See it? Yeah, okay, I see that. And notice that right in the middle, you see that dark spot in the middle? That's like the clown's nose. And then you see all around the outside there's the frizzy hair. And see the big ears are like those two clouds at the side are like the big. Oh, yeah, I see the clown face now. And so what has happened is, one person is firing the brain cells in another so that the second person holds the same or a similar reality to the first person. That's the best definition of gossip I've ever seen. Because when people gossip, they have a reality in their minds that's a projection of their own garbage, the things they don't want to deal with, and they talk to somebody, notice that they do it behind the person's back. Because the only way to get those same brain cells firing is to do it without a different conversation going on. You know, if there was another person laying on the other side saying, no, it's a giraffe. See, look at the big ears and the giraffe and see the long legs. And, you know, that clown face would never show up. The person who gossips is the person who would drag somebody aside in a private conversation and keep talking until the same brain cells are firing in that second person and their mind outputs the same reality. One of the things we hold at Heartland is a rule that gossip is simply off limits. If there's something to be said about somebody else, then the requirement is that somebody else be there. And of course, it's not so easy to get another person's brain cells firing in the same vein and agreeing with the same reality if the person who was involved in the conversation is physically present and can say, well, wait a minute, no. When you say this happened, excuse me, that's not the way it happened and that's not what happened, it was this. All of a sudden, gossip doesn't have the same power. Everybody isn't looking at the same clown face, but people can start to more see truth. And so I would invite every organization to consider that they have a policy that if there's a conversation to be held about someone else, that someone else has to be there. Otherwise, that's when, and it sounds like maybe there's some loss and some grief for you to process around that relationship with that young woman when you bought into the gossip and you allowed that same, you know, kind of calm face to come up in your mind and buy into the dissing of her. That might be a good worksheet to do.
Yep, I agree with you.
Yeah, awesome work, Richard. That's just fabulous.
Well, again, I'm looking forward to being there this summer to learn more and looking forward to teacher's training and can't wait to get there.
Very cool. Well, we'll see you in just a few weeks.
All right, take care.
All right, blessings. Travel safely. You're driving back now from out west?
Yes, I am. I'll be in Denver again tonight. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's... If you want to get a hold of that person that's in near Denver and let them know I'm there, have them give me a call, see if we can catch up.
Okay, I'll do that. And, you know, quite often Carrie is on the line, and so if she's on the line, Carrie, Richard is driving back to Denver, is going to be going out with some friends tonight, and was inviting you to come and join them. So if you're on the line, call in and let us know or give me a call afterward, and I'll give you Richard's number.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Blessings. Travel safely. You sure are covering the country, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been one coast to the other and back here.
Long trek. Well, travel safely, my friend.
All right.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, Richard, that's just such an awesome piece of work, that shift. And, you know, and I appreciate your willingness to have me tell that tale on you, but... If you want to, we've often talked about on the show, if you go to that second radio show and listen, you can see how the tendency is to want to talk about something outside of us while the challenge is something inside of us. And such a magnificent change, Richard, to hear your conversation just so easily move to, oh, I got something inside of me, going to go do my work. It's just fabulous. It's like, you know... It's those kinds of shifts and changes that change the world, and it's those kinds of shifts and changes that really make doing this work so worthwhile. So It's fabulous to see somebody dig in at the depth that you are. You know, so many people will jump in and they'll do the work for a week or two or three, and then they're off doing something else. And to just watch how you've stuck to it and the changes that you're making is monumental. So, Jeannie, anything happening in the chat room? Anything, any callers? I hope our switchboard is operating. And
there's nobody has any questions or comments, but David is now on the phone with us.
Oh, hey, David, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, Michael. Just left Marie's regiment, and we've been having a chat all last night and today, and talking about the work, and we did her, went to her Mind Shifters group last night, and we did a couple worksheets with some ladies that were there, and it was nice that they were there, had some breakthroughs with some with several things. It was Marie's doing a fabulous job. I'm so pleased that I got to be part of that group last night. We were there for a couple of 3 hours, and the two ladies there really did grasp the work at a new level. It was actually one. It was her second time, and at the completion of doing the worksheet, the two ladies that were there agreed that they would do a minimum of one worksheet every day for the next week until the meeting next week, and that they would contact each other when that work was when they did that. So it was. It was great support, I think, for Marie and for them as well to make a commitment and get to experience what it's like to keep that commitment. So it went well.
That went well. Fabulous. So are you going to her support group in St. Petersburg tonight?
No, it's in a transition period type thing where they are just going to be doing, she has to renew a 6-week agreement with them, so it's on hold tonight. And
okay.
I thought that's what was going to happen, and those things changed a little. So,
Cool. Well, it's good to hear your voice. Glad you're having fun out there.
Yeah, it's really great, and Richard just sounds absolutely fabulous. It was as though I didn't recognize his voice on there.
Yeah. There's
so much clarity and so much. There's such a new level of what I'm referring to in using language is a new level of his understanding of himself and the work and a level of responsibility and commitment. And you know, he's been committed in doing his work for a while, as you know, and he's making monumental shifts, and that's usually what happens. People have been doing it for a while. So, congratulations.
Yeah, getting people to stick to it that deeply and that long is not the easiest project in the world, and it certainly bears fruit. And as you say, the clarity in his voice and his thinking is just awesome. Awesome.
Yep. Yeah, it'd be great, and the value that he'll receive from being at the intensives, and that is the one of the steps for opening it up and moving things out quicker is to commit to and participate in intensive. That's where some real in-depth work, as you know, and the advancing of that work takes place. Well, you know, he spent a couple of years contemplating being there, and then after he went last year, it's just been full gun now. He's just really
skyrocketed.
Yeah. That's it.
Awesome. Well, we're down to the last few seconds of the show, so I'll just say if anybody's going to be in Jacksonville, Florida, starting next Sunday, we'll be doing a 7-day series of workshops, 6 free workshops, and then this second Saturday of May, we'll be doing Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing, the one workshop we charge a fee for. So if anybody's around and wants to join us, we'd be delighted to see your sweet face. And then, as we said earlier, we'll start food fund forgiveness and work projects at Heartland on the 12th of July, and then teachers training, or 9-day WISE is happening to me again intensive. Teacher training, go to the website for all the details. We do have some newly discounted structures for those who've participated before. And we hold a space and bring a stranger to the show with you tomorrow and have the best year yet of your eternal life. Take care. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.